Welcome in. It is Friday. That means it is Field of Fans Friday. It is week 8, and here is the Field of Fans podcast. Field of Fans podcast.
Be a very entertaining game.
This is a completely new team.
It's going to be something to look out for the rest of the year.
What do you expect to see out of this game tonight?
Probably going to be one of the biggest weeks of the year.
Happy football watching.
This year is just absolutely wild.
We're your hosts, Colin Hextall and Grant Prather, and this is
Field of Fans podcast.
Starting off with our good, bads, and uglies from last week. What looked good on the field last week to you, Grant?
Lamar Jackson. I mean, 5 touchdowns. He does this probably 4, maybe 5 weeks a year, and it was definitely his on week. I think the Ravens' offense is really coming into their own now. Having a reliable running back like Derrick Henry to pair with Lamar is lethal. Henry leads the league in rushing yards. He stayed good, and Lamar has really thrived as a result.
Yeah, that's a good 1-2 punch. I mean, both of them running threats, for that matter. They lead the league in rushing yards by far. And Lamar's arm has gotten a little bit better based on what we've seen this season. He's a little bit more accurate, a little bit smarter with the ball. So between the two of them, they don't really need the rest of their offense.
Definitely not. I think the Ravens are legitimate contenders now that we've really seen Derrick Henry. Even though he started out slow in a lot of his games, he's had like 20 yards in the first half of, I think, 3 of his games now. He's had a lot of big runs. He even had that 80-yard run that he couldn't house, and he said I need to get faster. But when you have a guy like him, that's really not a necessity.
Their defense will definitely need to be addressed. This is another game where they lit up 30-plus points. Not the first time this season.
And surprisingly enough, a guy that we thought was going to do really good when he came out of the draft was Kyle Hamilton, and he's looked pretty slow at the strong safety spot. So defense is going to be an issue. Thankfully, the offense can catch up, but you can't always rely on them to produce points for you.
And they have a lot of playmakers on that defense, Hamilton being one of them. They lost Patrick Queen last year. I'm starting to wonder how much of an impact that had on that defense.
Yeah, middle linebackers are so important for tackling especially, but run game as well. Run game can really dictate the flow of a game, the pace of a game. So Patrick Queen is a big loss. Also in coverage, too, he has a lot of speed at that linebacker spot, surprisingly. So big loss for them.
My good for the week, in my unbiased opinion, was Marcus Mariota. Started the game 0-for-4. He hasn't been getting first-team reps, obviously, because Jaden Daniels has been in. But he finished 18-for-19 with 2 touchdowns, 205 yards on the day. If Daniels can't go this week, he's not a bad alternative.
Yeah, Mariota, Atlanta let him go really early to Desmond Ridder, which it made me very mad. Ridder is basically a carbon copy of Mariota, just worse. We've seen Mariota, especially obviously in college, he did good at Oregon, but Tennessee, he had a lot of good games. It's just he's been let go from a lot of teams too quickly. So he's kind of showing what he can really do in Washington, and I think he is also surrounded by a good offense with Eckler and McLaurin.
And the symmetry between him and Jaden Daniels is a little almost creepy because they're both second-round picks. They were both Heismans coming out of their senior year, and they're both dual-threat quarterbacks. They were saying in the game last week, like, the notes from the two quarterbacks, their scouting notes, are the exact same, just however many years apart. And Cliff Kingsbury has done a good job adjusting this offense to Mariota, but he doesn't have a whole lot of adjustments that he has to make.
Right, and Mariota's still, post-30, he still has a lot of speed. He's still the same quarterback. Well, not the same quarterback, obviously, but same play style. Even through that age, he's still able to run.
And he's borderline more physical, I think, than Jaden Daniels. He's just a bigger guy. So he's less scramble with speed and more scramble with I'm going to put my shoulder into you.
Exactly. One thing he's not is bad. One guy that was bad last week in my bad was C.J. Stroud. Just, I think, 86 yards limited to. It wasn't a horrible game. It wasn't ugly, but it was definitely bad. There's been uglier. I'll go over that later, but Stroud just had a really off week. He's had a couple bad weeks this year. He's looked good in a lot of the games, but he's just stayed inconsistent. And I think if the Texans really want to have a playoff push, they're going to win their division. There's no question about that. But if they want to have a playoff push, he's going to need to stay consistent.
And thankfully, Joe Mixon kind of picked up for them a little bit. He had 115 yards, 2 touchdowns, averaging 4.6 a carry. And that's what kept them in that game because the Packers obviously put up a good fight. But the Texans lost off of a last-second field goal. So, I mean, that game still could have gone either way despite Stroud's struggles. But you can credit that to the rest of the offense.
Definitely. What'd you have for your bad?
My bad was Kirk Cousins. Did not look good last week. He had only one touchdown with two picks. The offense scored 14 points in total. And he had a fumble that was recovered for a touchdown. That was 7 of the 34 Seahawks points. I thought this was going to be a good game. I thought the Falcons were going to win it. Great NFC matchup, but nah, the Seahawks ran away with this one quick.
Yeah, Seahawks put the offense to sleep by adding blanket coverage. That was an interesting wordplay there. But their secondary just locked up Pitts, locked up London. They weren't able to do much, and Kirk didn't have a lot of options to throw. Seahawks got a strip sack recovery touchdown as a result. So definitely not a good game for Kirk Cousins at all.
Luckily for the Falcons, looking into like the playoff race this early in the season, the Bucs also lost this week, so remains 4-3. But the Falcons currently have the head-to-head over the Bucs. However they play this weekend makes this game so important.
Yeah, we'll cover that when we get to the scores. That's going to be a big game for NFC playoff picture. We'll get to that when we come to it. My ugly, though, is injuries, just pretty much everywhere. 49ers especially. Debo might be coming back this week, but gosh, CMC's out, Ayuk's out. So many injuries, which is what they're used to seeing, but there's so many injuries around the league as well. I think it's getting to that point in the season where workloads are changing and players are starting to get into tough situations where ankles could be stepped on, things like that. It's the NFL. It's a contact sport, obviously. It's the most contact sport, maybe besides hockey, but injuries just make the league right now kind of ugly with those.
Yeah, missing their three big receivers last week. They had Ayuk missing, Samuel missing, and McCaffrey, who's borderline their wide receiver three, still missing. George Kittle picked up a lot of the weight, though. He had 92 yards. Not a bad day for him. And they also got Ricky Purcell back after his preseason incident where he was shot twice. Props to him for coming back, making a day, three receptions for 20 yards.
Crazy how he came back before anybody else. And it's an interesting story, I guess.
It is. I mean, this isn't the first time we saw it. We saw it with Brian Robinson as well. And now we're going to have to see it with
Jameson Williams. Josh Reynolds was involved in a shooting outside a club a couple nights ago.
So they said his injuries are minor, but he's going to have to bounce back from that as well if he wants to keep playing.
Yeah, I think he's their wide receiver too, as well behind Cortland Sutton, so Broncos might have a little bit of trouble going from there with Bo Nix, but we'll see.
Moving on to my ugly, I had the entire Jets offense, and I am the biggest Jets hater, even still, with Rodgers. I said at the beginning of the season, healthy or not, he's not going to play well. Well, Sunday night really proved me right, I'm sorry. Two interceptions to make his yearly total up to 7 now. There's only 3 quarterbacks that have more interceptions than that. And 7 yards per attempt is an iffy number, but he got no help from like running back Breece Hall, who had 12 carries for 38 yards. Did have a touchdown added onto that. And Breece Hall did have a good game in the receiving area. 6 receptions for 103 yards, their leading receiver.
Yeah, he's a pretty good threat out of the backfield, one of the better receiving backs in the league, but 7 interceptions for Aaron Rodgers, that's a total season number for him from what we've seen in Green Bay, but I think he's really starting to hit his decline. He's starting to hit his fall off, kind of like, Brett Favre, very shades of Brett Favre.
And they brought in Davante Adams. He was pretty quiet in his first game, 3 receptions for 30 yards. Mike Williams, who they've been talking about putting on the trade block now that Adams is back, only had a reception for 15 yards, so they might look to move Mike Williams pretty soon.
Which really stinks, because Mike Williams and Davante Adams is one of the most interesting receiver combos and really one of the most lethal, especially for a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. But Mike Williams, he's not getting the production he needs to. There's a lot of other teams that could need him, and the Jets do need some help, especially in the defensive end.
Well, let's move on to our power ranks. How did yours move around this week?
So, obviously, this is not including Thursday night's game between the Vikings and the Rams. So Chiefs at number 1. I hate to put them there, but 6-0, so I mean they got to go number 1. Lions at 2 now. Vikings, because of the loss to the Lions, are going to go at 3. Ravens at number 4, and then the Bills at 5.
Mine are actually very close to yours. I flipped the Ravens and the Vikings. I think the Ravens finally got a good quality win. But I had the Chiefs at 1, Lions 2. Ravens 3, Vikings 4, Bills 5. Like you said, this is before that last night's game where the Vikings, they probably could have possibly made a comeback if it wasn't for that controversial call. But they also just didn't play to their ability.
Yeah, offense was weird, to say the least. The Rams did hold on to the ball for a good amount of time, but 20 points for the Vikings with their type of offense isn't really what they're looking for. Sam Darnold is starting to hit that point where maybe his insanity run is over. But Matthew Stafford played a great game, I got to say that. Puka's also back, so that really helped.
I do hate to say that because Darnold didn't have a bad game at the end of the day. He was averaging almost 10 per attempt. He had 2 touchdowns and no picks, so wasn't a bad day for him. The Rams offense was just lighting it up, though. Stafford had 4 touchdowns and a pick. I mean, he had a great day, and that was the one reason I said I could see the Rams winning this game, because Stafford's played in like a million primetime games, so he's got that experience.
And Stafford had 3 touchdowns in the entire season leading up to that game. So then adding 4, more than doubling. So just a good bounce back game, I think, for the Rams. That division is still really competitive, the NFC West. Cardinals are about the same level as the Rams. The Seahawks are very, very iffy, very inconsistent for a 4-3 team. So we'll have to see how that division pans out. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad division, but at least it's competitive. But I think it's safe to say that Stafford enjoyed having his 2 top receivers back last night.
Yeah, Kupp didn't get as many targets as we expected, but Puka took those over 100 receiving yards. So a good game coming off an injury, too, that quickly. I didn't expect him to play that good.
I agree. And DeMarcus Robinson, 2 touchdowns off 2 receptions, coming out of nowhere, I feel like.
Yeah, a good game overall for the Rams. Defense played good. The Vikings defense was not up, but the Matthew Stafford obviously was the reason for that. Vikings taking the L, dropped 2 in a row. They took 5 in a row to win start of the year. Now they're kind of just starting to slow down.
I think you remember me saying last week, if the Vikings had lost to the Lions, I was like, this Thursday night game might be pretty interesting. And this game started with 4 touchdown drives, 2 by each team. And I was like, wow, we're in for a shootout. And it slowed down from there, but I think it was a much better game than a lot of people were expecting.
Exactly. Speaking of wide receivers specifically, trade deadline, trade block, what are some like interesting players you think are up for grabs here?
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a lot of wide receivers. And like I talked about last week, I think the wide receiver market is really going down. But one of them we just talked about, Cooper Kupp, might be on the move. I mean, they have a good wide receiver 1 in L.A. They haven't had a first-round pick in God knows how long. But I think between him, maybe the 2 Carolina receivers, Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen. I just talked about Mike Williams didn't do anything. Now that they have Adams, they still have Lazard and Garrett Wilson. So I think he might be on the move. Darius Slayton might be out of New York now that Malik Nabers has made a name for himself. Cardinals might look to rebuild and move Zay Jones possibly. So yeah, I think there's a lot of potential moves, and especially we didn't talk about DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs yet, but for a 5th-round pick, what do you think?
I mean, I can't say I didn't expect it. That frees a lot of cap room for the Titans. The one thing, I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again, I really don't think DeAndre Hopkins fits the Chiefs scheme, especially for wide receivers. His skill set is what they're looking for in a tight end out of Travis Kelce, who's been quiet. But the Chiefs' offense is really built up for speed, and DeAndre Hopkins early in his career had that speed, but now he's very possession-based, very one-on-one based. He's not very speed slant in and out over the middle, which is what we're used to seeing out of them. Maybe he'll still play good because he does have Mahomes backing him up, but Mahomes hasn't played good, so it might not change their game plan too much, honestly.
That leads me to another topic. Mahomes still 2nd in the MVP race, leads the league in interceptions with only 6 touchdowns.
All right, you ready for something amazing? Now, here's a guy who's really, I mean, he's 2nd in the MVP race. It's Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I'm done. That was my Chris Collinsworth impression. How'd you think that was?
That's actually pretty impressive. I think we've all seen those TikToks. Have you seen the voiceover TikToks that was like the refs just like helping out Mahomes, like pass interference on number 1, 2, and 3 on the defense. Patrick Mahomes gets to choose where the ball goes. Chiefs win.
I don't know, Jim. I think it's not going to go in, Jim. Okay, I'm done.
Anyways, looking more at that trade market, though, we got some corners up there, some D-line. I know you like Max Crosby. You think he'll end up in Atlanta?
I think there's a good shot. The Falcons really need help from the pass rush. Matthew Judon has done jack squat for the pass rush. Grady Jarrett's been semi-quiet. Secondary hasn't been doing well either. AJ Terrell looks like buns just because he's really short. But Max Crosby would be a good fit in Atlanta, I think. He doesn't want in Vegas. Vegas is going to want him out. They need to rebuild right now. So it could be an interesting look.
And another lineman, from what I've heard, Washington is in trade talks for Browns, the Darius Smith, the edge rusher. They also might look towards corners. I think Ward might have been a potential option to end up in Washington. Be a big help for that struggling secondary.
Man, you saw that Denzel Ward clip, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've said on this podcast before, Pat Surtain is the best man coverage corner in the league. Denzel Ward is very, very close behind him, I think. You have Tariq Woolen has potential to be that, but he's really not there yet. I don't want to base it off of one clip, but I think that one clip really shows what Denzel Ward can do. He's just been overshadowed a lot because he's in Cleveland. It's the story with a lot of Browns players, right? They get in Cleveland, they're great players to start, and then that city destroys them.
Possible quarterbacks on the move. What do you think? I hear Bryce Young's up on the trade block now.
That is just comical to me, honestly. I really don't know where he'd go. Vegas doesn't need him. They picked up Desmond Ridder. It would be a good fit in Vegas if they didn't pick up Ridder, honestly. I'm really trying to think of where else. Cleveland wouldn't really make sense. Tennessee would make a lot of sense, I guess, which is hilarious because it's just the same draft class. But maybe even New Orleans at this point, honestly.
I heard potential of him going to Miami. Tua may be back this week, may not be. But if he's back, what are the chances he stays back? And it's not a bad idea to develop a quarterback like that under Tua until he gets his time to play.
It's very similar to Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins. I think if you have a guy who can – look, Bryce Young's career has not started off very well, right? So maybe that means he doesn't have the pressure of starting every single game. Maybe he can kind of take some bench reps, figure it out, and then have more experience when he can go back on the field and maybe 2 years down the line, you know. So he has a lot of potential. It's just he hasn't been really utilized well.
I feel like the quarterback market's a little bit quieter this year than it has in past years. Like we said, the wide receiver market is all over the place. But I don't know that there's really any other quarterbacks that may be on the move.
Yeah, the quarterback market's pretty locked up now. I think everyone really knows who they want. Besides two or three teams, Miami being one, Vegas being one, Titans yes. So, yeah, the wide receiver market, skill players are going to bounce around. Quarterbacks can't. A lot of, obviously, teams start to find their franchise quarterback. A lot of teams have their franchise quarterbacks locked up. Falcons pretty much do with Penix, Chargers, Chiefs, all those teams. But there are a couple with those rookie quarterbacks who need different quarterbacks, so Bryce Young could fit one of those teams.
And of all the teams that need quarterbacks, I think a lot of them are going to end up getting early draft picks, like we said, the Panthers, the Titans, the Raiders. And there's quite a few good quarterbacks in this draft class. I wouldn't say it's as good as, like, maybe last year's. Last year's draft class was very good. But I think there's quite a few good candidates for possible franchise quarterbacks.
Definitely. And the top 5 and 10 for this draft is going to be, I think, historic. Obviously, Travis Hunter's, and I'm going to be so interested to see who's going to get that first overall pick with Travis Hunter. I do wish that the NFL would do the draft lottery like MLB and NBA have done. I think that's a lot better of a solution to having really crappy teams. It gives maybe the like a 7 and 10 team a good chance at a decent pick, but Travis Hunter is going to be a threat next year.
And I'm with you about the draft lottery because, for one thing, we hate to see teams tanking. For another thing, you see situations like Bryce Young where you have a star rookie quarterback going to the worst team in the league. What do you expect his career to turn out as? I mean, he's got no one to surround him.
Exactly. Meanwhile, if you would have had him go to a team maybe like the Falcons, just using it as an example, obviously the first one that came to mind, who were already sort of set up, and they ended the season 7 and 10. So, I mean, look at the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA, right? They had, I think, 3% chance to land the number one pick and did it. So it makes it more exciting, like you said, to see those teams not tank as much because anything could happen.
Are other teams that may be looking for quarterbacks, do you think Daniel Jones might be done in New York after this season?
No, only because they paid him so much, honestly. Maybe 2 more years, because, look, he's not horrible. He's better than a lot of quarterbacks. He's definitely bottom half of the league, but he's better than a lot of other quarterbacks, and they already paid him enough. So I don't think there's a world where they will bring in another quarterback to start over him. Maybe they will bring in someone like a Bryce Young to maybe, I mean, learning under Daniel Jones doesn't sound good, right? But it could be a good option.
And I've seen stats. Have you seen the amount of NHL players that have scored at MetLife before Daniel Jones recently?
Was it 21 players?
I think 16. 16 NHL players have scored more recently than Daniel Jones.
In MetLife. just hilarious. He's probably the most inconsistent quarterback in the league. He'll have a legacy game, and then he'll just play like crap.
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate for Giants fans. But they also might have been bailed out, because that was the same year that Giants fans were upset that they didn't get Dwayne Haskins instead. Daniel Jones might have been the better pick there.
Rest in peace. Yeah. That Dwayne Haskins, man, I remember sitting playing Madden on a Pittsburgh Steelers franchise, and Dwayne Haskins was sitting on my bench at a 60 overall when my quarterback got hurt. He did have a lot of potential. That's besides the point, but a lot of potential. Very sad.
Before we get into this weekend's game, we talked about it a little bit, but last night's game, that face masking call, I mean, it was blatant. I don't know how you missed that.
In a primetime game, too. I think, again, I really don't know if it's media exposure or if it's just the refs getting worse, but that stuff like that needs to be addressed. I saw the New York Knicks. I keep bringing up NBA, but this is a good correlation. The New York Knicks did the same thing last year. They posted referee scores where they saw what was called, how much it was called, how many wrong calls were made. I think that would be very important for the NFL, and maybe checking the calls on replay and giving them a post-game score would be really, really good, because there needs to be some sort of change here. That face mask was egregious in the end zone right in front of the refs when the team is down. That's ridiculous.
Sam Darnold would have needed a 97-yard drive and a 2-point conversion to tie it. So don't get me wrong, it still would have been a long way to go. But that play essentially ended the game. It was a safety, which causes a turnover, and you can't recover from that.
Either way, NFL PR specifically needs to figure out referee situations because, I mean, obviously, they know their business they're running is unstoppable, right? There's not going to be enough people to stop watching the NFL for it to just fail because it's the biggest sports market in the USA. But they got to figure that out to keep exposure up and keep somewhat positive things being said towards the referees and said towards teams.
But yeah, that ref that was in the end zone who had a clear view of it was like, oh, I didn't get a good look in his, post-game conference or whatever. But you see the video from his angle, he's 5 feet away from it. It's pretty easy to see Sam Darnold's head getting jerked around.
Yeah, goodness. There's been calls like that in the past, too. But this one, that late in the game, just really was hard to see.
But neither here nor there. Vikings fall to 5-2. Rams starting to make a run in their division. They're only like a game back from Seattle. That could be interesting.
Definitely. Anything else you want to talk about before we move on?
I think we move on to the AFC North.
Okay, yeah, good. Not a good division matchup, but AFC North games are always competitive. Ravens-Browns. Ravens offense is going to do good here again. Jameis Winston starting for the Browns. I love Jameis Winston. I got to say that. He's one of the most funny quarterbacks in the game, honestly. Obviously, he's not as good as Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. But Ravens 35-14 here.
I have Ravens 30-10. I'm with you. Jameis Winston, not a bad quarterback. He's known for turning the ball over a lot, but also making good plays. And I could see the Browns weirdly scoring 30, 35 points and the Ravens scoring 40-something. I don't have that in my score prediction, but I could see it being like the Bengals-Ravens game a couple weeks ago where everyone thought the Ravens were going to blow out the Bengals and it being a 41-38 game. So my score prediction is 30-10, but I think this could end up being a shootout game, especially with the plays that Jameis Winston makes.
And Nick Chubb back. That does help, especially with a struggling Ravens defense and a struggling run game defense from the Ravens. But I think their offense is too lethal here. Titans-Lions, I don't think there's any question. A very weird matchup. Interconference, South versus North, just odd. But Lions should be, I put emphasis on should be, an easy win. I have them at 34-18.
And this one's in Detroit, too, making Will Levis's life that much worse. Or Will Levis still starting there?
I'm not sure, because I know he's been bouncing around. But Levis, look, we knew he wasn't playing good. He's not going to continue to play good. I honestly didn't understand why he was picked so early. That didn't make sense to me. Yet Will Levis did have a shoulder injury now that I'm thinking about it. And I forget, I think Mason Rudolph was starting in his stead. So
That's right. Mason Rudolph did start last week,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes. So they're about the same caliber, honestly.
And the Titans led at half against the Bills last week. They were up 10-7 at half. Rough second half. They lost 34-10. But I guess Mason Rudolph only putting up 10 points isn't much of a solution to Will Levis putting up 10 points.
You know what I really want to see? I want to see, let's see, do the Titans play the Browns? Because I forget. Because if they do, I want to see a fight rematch of Myles Garrett versus Mason Rudolph. Yep. That was one of the worst things for NFL history, honestly, if you ask me.
It is, but it got everyone talking about the NFL. Yep. It was a big event. People to this day remember it. And you see people with their rear windshield wipers now. Have you seen this? Where, no. Like, the windshield wiper is Myles Garrett's arm. And it's just like it comes down on top of Mason Rudolph. It's pretty funny.
I bet if I traveled to Pittsburgh, I'd see a couple of those.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, Lions 34-18 for sure. What'd you have?
Yeah, I was pretty close with that. I had Lions 38-12. Not going to be a close game.
The next one up on the slate is definitely going to be a close division game, in my opinion. Texans-Colts, Stroud coming off a tough game. Joe Flacco and Anthony Richardson. In the Colts, it's iffy who's going to start. I think Richardson will take the start again just because it's Anthony Richardson. And for some reason, Indianapolis believes in him more than they'll ever believe in anyone else. But Texans are going to take this one in a close game, I think, at home, 23-20.
I'm with you. Don't look now, but the Colts are 4-3 and one game behind the Texans in their division. Still think the Texans will win this division, but it might end up getting a little bit closer than we think. Now that the Colts are playing meaningful games, though, why would you not start the better quarterback? Like, at first I was like, yeah, play Anthony Richardson. This season might be kind of going downhill anyways, so you might as well develop a quarterback. But you have a shot at a playoff run now. Play the better guy.
Yeah, and the AFC South has always been somewhat competitive division, right? There's never been any standout teams, really, except for the Colts in the 70s. And obviously the Jaguars in that crazy run, and I think it was 2018. But love Blake Bortles, by the way. But that division's always close. It'll be close again, like you said. Colts one game behind, and this would tie it in the division. That would be a huge win for them, realistically, because the Colts have to play good in their division if they want to have a shot at least a wild card spot.
Well, with assuming Richardson is starting, I got Texans winning 29-13. Flacco starts, I could see this being like 29-27, though.
Yeah, it could be a definitely high-scoring game. Stroud has potential. Joe Mixon's been playing great, man. His fantasy value is through the roof. He's a really good fit in Houston, I think. Obviously, no Nico Collins, but Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs, or Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs. There's no question about that.
Moving on to another bad game, one of many bad games this week, Packers-Jaguars. Not even close.
No, not at all. I think Jordan Love is really, really coming into his own finally. I think Green Bay did see the potential. I think they invested well. It was good for him to learn under Aaron Rodgers for a year, too. That really helped. Jaguars, oh, goodness gracious. Don't get me started on Jacksonville. Packers going to win by 10, 27-17 here.
Jaguars did get the win last week in London against New England. And I'm with you. Jordan Love looks good. But my only thing with him is he started 5 games now. And has 8 interceptions on the year, 3 of them in one game, but that's a lot. And I know he's a young guy, and he's still learning and things like that, but that's got to be something he figures out if he wants to continue to play at his caliber.
He had a bad stretch of games, for sure. There's no question about it. I think he can definitely come back, especially against a team like the Jaguars. That'll be a great confidence game for him in a very hotly contested division. I mean, Vikings, Lions, Bears, Packers all have winning records. That's another hotly contested division. I'm liking the division play this year in pretty much every division. AFC North looks good. NFC South is a two-way tie. But Packers are going to take this one for sure.
Cardinals-Dolphins. That's a pretty ugly game. We don't know if Tua will be back or not. He was removed off IR, I believe.
Yeah.
But the Cardinals beat the Chargers last week. I think they'll beat the Dolphins this week, 26-13.
I think either way, I think no matter if Tua starts or not, the defense will find a way to step up somehow. The Dolphins need a game where they can finally figure out how to win now. In Miami is a little different. There is the bench situation with the way that Hard Rock is set up, which is architectural beauty, by the way. Or not architectural. I don't know if that's strategical. Whatever. Dolphins going to win 20-13.
Jets-Patriots, another bad game this week. The Jets looked horrible last week. The Patriots might have looked worse. Drake May kind of had his first week where he Kind of got some heads turning, but after that, not really.
Yeah, I think against a Jets defense like this, he might have a pretty good game. Aaron Rodgers, turnovers have really struggled. I think he might have a couple turnovers on their side of the field that will really screw up their field possession, or field position, I should say. Another upset, realistically, Patriots here, 24-21.
Well, I had the Patriots as my upset last week. That didn't pay off. So I have the Jets winning this one 24-20 in Boston.
And my personal maybe game of the week, just because I think it'll be a very clean played game. There's not prime time. There won't be anything crazy probably, but it's going to be an offensive shootout like the last time we saw. Falcons versus Bucks in Tampa. What do you have for this?
And the Bucks' loss of Godwin and Evans is huge for them, but they still have lots of offensive playmakers. Baker is still playing very good football. I have the Bucks winning in a very close one, 37-34, just because it's in Tampa and it's a division matchup. That's how these kind of games usually go.
I think since it's the second matchup of these two teams and they saw how the first game went, I think it'll be a little bit less scoring. Obviously, it's going to be high scoring, but I think that's going to be because there's a lot of touchdowns. Minimal field goals. Falcons 31-28. You said the Bucks have playmakers, and they do. K-Dot and Rashad White. Bucky Irving has been playing tremendously, but that's the issue with the Buccaneers. Why are they splitting so many carries when you have a guy who's breaking out like Bucky Irving? Trade Rashad White. Get him out. He doesn't need to be there anymore. But I think Kirk Cousins against a decent Bucks defense might have a pretty good game. The Falcons thrive in games that are offensive heavy. I think Kirk is used to playing those tougher games, so I think the Falcons are going to stick it out here.
Eagles-Bengals, I think, is a weird game. This is my top dog underdog pick of the week. I have the Bengals beating the Eagles 22-19 because the Eagles have been playing easier games, and they've been playing them close.
Yeah, I think the Bengals are going to take this one as well. I think Nick Sirianni and the Eagles have not really looked good. I think the Bengals will do a good job on third down, preventing the tush push. And Joe Burrow is going to be Joe Burrow for once, especially in Cincinnati. That's big. Eagles are really cold. Bengals are looking at least a little bit better. They've lost a lot of close games, so I think they're going to win a close game 28-24 here.
Don't get me wrong. The Eagles looked good last week against the Giants 28-3. Once again, that's the Giants, though. But they beat Cleveland only by 6 points. That game was at home, too. I'm sorry, by 4 points. It's 20-16. That game was at home, and they played them pretty close.
Yeah. Tell me how my heart skipped a beat when you said 28-3. That just shows how heartbreaking that Super Bowl was. Man, I can never get that out of my head. Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, Barkley had, I think, like 156 yards on the day. He was 13 short of his career high. They didn't really need him after the third quarter, though. So the next game is another ugly game, Chargers-Saints.
It's ugly, but I think it'll be a fun, close game. Both rosters this is interesting, I guess, is a better word. Chargers will stick it out at home, 22-17. Saints got a long way to travel, and Spencer Rattler is Spencer Rattler. So not going to be pretty by any stretch of the imagination for the Saints offense, but I think their defense might actually find something. Again, keep it close, but Herbert will stick it out with, I mean, his only real target's Ladd McConkey at this point, but I think Herbert will have a decent game.
And Chargers last week lost to the Cardinals. They once again, well, I shouldn't say once again, this is another team that kind of got screwed over by the refs. I don't know if you were watching on Monday night, but the Cardinals were driving down the field trying to get a game-winning field goal. Clean pass breakup, and they called an unnecessary roughness call. It was a really bad call. Yeah, and it was another one that was on primetime, so it got blown up as well.
Yeah, again, primetime, reffing, there's really not much else to say other than improvement needs to be addressed.
But I do have the Chargers winning this one 18-13. Harbaugh's been coaching them well out there. The defense has looked really good for the Chargers.
They're missing a lot of players, and they're not playing that bad. You know, they lost a lot of pieces. Derwin James, I think, was out for a couple of games. Obviously, no Mike Williams, no Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Austin Eckler in the same offseason. That's your best three offensive players besides Justin Herbert. And they're still not doing bad offensively.
And their rookie, Ladd McConkey's, looked good. Josh Palmer had a good week last week. So they still have pieces that may be not as big of a name as Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, but they still have pieces to put together a good offense.
I said at the start of the year that McConkey wasn't going to have that bad of a year, and he really hasn't to this point. I think it's very, I guess, shades of Hunter Renfrow and Derek Carr. I mean, I'm basically saying that because Ladd McConkey's a short, white receiver. But He's very route runner, like Walmart Cooper Kupp, basically. Him and Herbert have a good connection, I think. But speaking of good connection, Bills, Seahawks, Amari Cooper had a touchdown in his first game.
He did. His very first catch as a Bill was a touchdown. This will be a good game, too, though. Seahawks coming off a good win, but I don't think they've played well against, like, the top of the top teams. I think they're going to fold in this game. I have the Bills winning 31-20.
Mine's kind of similar, at least with the Bills score. I have 30-26 Bills. I think this will be a good offensive shootout. Good showcase for Geno again. Bills defense is all right. Seahawks offense has been showing out. I'll give that to him. But their defense can't keep up with Josh Allen.
And I would look for Geno to throw two, maybe even three picks, but also throw for like 350 yards. That's how his games have kind of been going this season. And the Bills are ball hawks. I mean, that defense will pick anything out of the air that you give to them.
Yeah. I mean, they've been playing decent in terms of turnovers. Yardage, maybe not so good. But Bills are threats this year yet again. I think finally they might have a good chance of making the AFC chip again.
A game that was flexed from 1 o'clock to 4:30 to try to see the number one, the two overall pick play each other. But we might not see that with Daniel – or not Daniel Jones, Jesus.
Wow, a Washington Commanders fan messing up and saying Daniel Jones is your quarterback. Oh, man, you wish. You know Daniel Jones is better than Jaden Daniels. Okay.
Let's do two different takes on this game. With Jaden Daniels, what do you think will happen?
Commanders win. There's no question about that. Without Jaden, or you said with Jaden Daniels, they win?
Yeah.
Without Jaden Daniels, they win. Either way, honestly.
That's interesting. I think they win with Jaden Daniels, and I almost think they win dominantly. Like, with Jaden Daniels, I think it'd be, like, maybe a 38-24 kind of game. Like, a pretty sound victory. Washington's now number one in the league in point differential. We're still waiting to hear if Daniel Jones... Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has done it again. Two in a row. Can he stop the streak of calling... I just did it again. I called him. Oh, my God. Oh, you know, it's Friday. It's the weekend's coming up. We've had a long week, but I mean, Colin, man, calling Jaden Daniels Daniel Jones is just unacceptable.
They're basically just their initials are just flipped. Whatever. We're still waiting to see if Jaden Daniels practiced today, because that'll be the big determining factor whether or not he plays Sunday. Without Jaden Daniels, I think Commanders lose in a close 127-23.
So I have the Commanders winning 24-19 because Washington is hell on earth for mid-teams. And the Bears are a mid-team. I don't care about their record. It's Chicago. It's Caleb Williams we're talking about here. He's a rookie. So Commanders in a very weird scoreline. I think the Bears will put up a lot of field goals in this one to stay at least in it. But Marcus Mariota might have a good final drive or a good first half to keep him up.
And if we're talking about fantasy, I would start Alston Seibert, the kicker for Washington this week. Bears have a very good red zone defense. Commanders have struggled in the red zone. So I think Washington will be the team that could possibly be kicking a lot of field goals. Who knows? This might end up being like a 21-24 game with 8 field goals and 7 field goals.
I was going to say maybe that 24 for the Commanders I predicted will be 8 field goals. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Panthers-Broncos, another pretty bad game. This is pretty much my underdog of the week. Panthers in Denver are going to come in there and take it 16-10.
I don't think Andy Dalton has looked good enough. However, it looks like Bryce Young might get the start after Andy Dalton was in a car accident with his family, I think, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the injuries were pretty minor, but we don't really know who's going to get the start here. Either way, I have the Broncos winning 34-16. Bo Nix hasn't looked too bad, but they might also be missing their wide receiver, too.
Exactly. I think this will be a decent dogfight due to injuries. I think, again, a lot of field goals. Both teams kind of have that play style where they're either on or they're off. So Panthers are going to take this by 6.
And final 4 o'clock game. Last year, the Raiders beat the Chiefs, who was it? Aiden O'Connell had 60 passing yards.
61, maybe.
Yeah. 61 passing yards and beat the Chiefs. This year I have the Chiefs winning, but I don't believe Aiden O'Connell will be good to go.
Desmond Ridder was picked up by the Raiders. His name just haunts me to this day. Desmond Ridder, man. But Minshew was benched, so I doubt they'll start him here. Aiden McConnell Brooks dumb, so he'll be out for quite a while. Thankfully, honestly, if you're a Raiders fan, I would be happy. But Chiefs, I think, are going to take this in a close game. The Chiefs' offense looks the worst it has ever been since Patrick Mahomes joined the Chiefs, since he started over Alex Smith. But Raiders will keep up here. I think it'll be a decent game since it is in Vegas. I almost said Oakland. Vegas, not Kansas City. 20-17 Chiefs.
Yeah, I took the home field advantage into effect too because the Raiders fans are a little crazy. But I have the Chiefs winning 24-19. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Mahomes going to throw two more picks, and maybe that'll finally drop him out of the MVP race.
Definitely. Oh, boy. This is a Sunday night football game for the ages, especially this year. Cowboys and 49ers in San Francisco.
I'm excited about this game. I think this is the biggest out-of-division rivalry in the football, in, like, all of football. 49ers-Cowboys. The 49ers have been fighting injuries, like we said. The Cowboys have been fighting themselves, and Jerry Jones, for that matter. Cowboys passing offense has looked pretty good. They're rushing in not so much.
Yeah, I didn't expect their rushing offense to be good. I mean, when you sign Ezekiel Elliott at this point in his career, what do you expect? Yeah, I do think this is probably the biggest out-of-division rivalry, at least in the NFC. AFC is the Bills and Chiefs for sure. But Cowboys are going to walk into San Francisco against a beat-up 49ers team. That's an understatement saying beat up. Cowboys 25-22.
I have the Niners winning this one 28-23. The Cowboys reigning NFC East champs last year, but they're a game and a half back now. And remember, we have not seen a repeat NFC East champion since 2003. It's been 21 years.
Absolutely wild stat. I think it's like every team in the NFC East has had a good year, but then they just can't keep it up. I don't know if it's an ownership thing. I don't know if it's just maybe a couple teams in those division games doing better, but it is interesting to see that.
Definitely keeps it interesting, but I think this is going to be another year of a new champion. I don't think the Cowboys are going to crawl out of this hole to win the division. Monday night, not a good matchup. Russell Wilson didn't look bad last week for the Steelers. I still don't agree that they should have started him over Fields, but I have the Steelers winning 31-10 at home.
This is such a weird week, you know, that I'm looking at all these games now, and this is a weird game too, but there's a lot of interconference games. Let's see. How many is there? There's one. The Packers and Jaguars is. The Cards and the Dolphins is. The Eagles and the Bengals is. Saints, Chargers, Bills, Seahawks, Panthers, Broncos.
Lions, Titans.
Yep. It's insane how many there are. But Steelers, this is a horrible primetime decision. I think Monday and Thursday Night Football, the schedule is just horrible. I mean, you have to have the bad games, right? But this one's just a different level. Steelers will take this one 17-10 in a low-scoring one.
I think it's just that time of year where we're trying to get all of the out-of-division games out of the way. And as we move into the next couple weeks, we'll see a lot of divisional games as teams push for the playoffs, you know, kind of start the race. Because next week will be the halfway point of the season, which is a little weird to think of.
Yeah, this entire, like, football season and just calendar time in general has flown by. I don't know what it is. That's just a random life side note, not even football, but yeah, definitely, like you said, a lot of interconference games, and those division games will come up later in the season when the teams are at their better, their best.
I think that wraps up all of our Week 8 coverage. Should be a good weekend. Maybe not the best games this weekend, but there could be a lot of movement in the playoff standings, especially with the Vikings losing last night. They might fall to, like, the sixth seed, which is a little crazy. As a Commanders fan, I'm kind of hoping that the Lions randomly get upset by the Titans. That would be nice. But playoff push is underway now. Trade deadline's coming up. We got a lot to watch this week. So once again, this is the Field of Fans podcast with your hosts, Colin Hackshall and Grant Prather. Happy football watching this weekend.